You know that school bell for the Warren County Radio Bible School. Today, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verses 12 through 14, talking about Peter on Pentecost. Let me read that text. Acts 2, verses 12 through 14. And they were all amazed and were perplexed, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" But others mocking said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spake forth unto them, saying, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and give ear unto my words." We're going to consult Elam's notes on those words in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. We're going to be looking at a Sunday school lesson prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of May the 15th, 1927. Here's from Elam's notes. False conceptions removed. Everything was now ready for this work. All authority had been given to Jesus, and he had ascended. The apostles had tarried at Jerusalem. The Spirit had come to guide them in all truth and bring to their remembrance all Jesus had said. This is a wonderful chapter. When the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit, the multitude was not present. They came together after this sound was heard, verse 6, not before, and were confounded, because then every man heard them speaking in his own language, and were amazed and marveled. Some mocking said that the apostles were drunken. To remove this false impression, Peter, standing up with the 11, denied the accusation, showing that they would not likely be drunken so early as 9 o'clock. Further, to remove the charge, he continued through verse 21 to show that what they heard was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, which he there quoted. This prophecy was not all then fulfilled, but began to be fulfilled. The false impression removed that they were drunken. They were ready to receive the truth. Today, people must have their prejudices and false impressions removed before they can receive the truth. Now, Peter proves in his sermon that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Let me read to you Acts chapter 2, verses 32 through 35. "This Jesus did God raise up, whereof we are all witnesses, being therefore by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David ascended not into the heavens, but he said himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit there on my right hand, till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet." Beginning with verse 22 of Acts chapter 2, and continuing down to verse 35, Peter proves that Jesus of Nazareth, whom the Jews crucified, is the Christ. He makes the very multitude of Jews present witnesses of the fact that God approved of Jesus by mighty works and wonders and signs which God did by him in their midst, and which they knew. He then quotes from the prophecies of David. The Jews claim to believe the scriptures, hence Peter refers to them as proof of the Messiahship of Jesus of Nazareth. He showed that in these prophecies, David could not have been himself, for the reason that he was dead, buried, and his grave was with them then. But being a prophet and foreseeing these things, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ. The Jews looked for a Messiah, or the Christ, but they did not believe that Jesus of Nazareth was he. Peter shows not only that God approved of Jesus of Nazareth by the miracles that Jesus wrought, but that after the Jews had crucified him, God raised him from the dead in fulfillment of these prophecies of David. That God had raised Jesus from the dead, the apostles were witnesses, whereof we are all witnesses. They were the most intimately acquainted with him before his crucifixion, and after his crucifixion and burial, had seen him alive from the dead. They handled him, had eaten with him, had talked with him, had seen him at different times and under different circumstances, and could not be mistaken. They saw him ascend. Furthermore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he had poured forth that which the people saw and heard, as Peter says, which ye see and hear. Jesus had told the apostles before, as we have learned, of this promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father. This came through Jesus' prayer to God, and he, therefore, received it from God and received it in answer to his prayer. John 14:16-17. The Holy Spirit was sent in Jesus' name, John 14:26. Having thus received the Spirit from the Father, Jesus sent it, John 15:26. The Spirit was to bear witness of Jesus, and so were the apostles, John 15:26-27. They were to bear witness of the facts of his resurrection, ascension, and exaltation at God's right hand. The people saw and heard. They saw the tongues like as a fire. They heard the Spirit speak through the apostles. To further show that David did not refer to himself in the prophecies quoted above, Peter said David had not ascended to heaven and understood the prophecies did not refer to himself because he had said, Jehovah saith unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Psalm 110:1. And so the conclusion and effect of Peter's sermon. Acts 2:36. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom ye crucified. Peter's sermon on this occasion would necessarily be full and complete. It was the first one preached under the Great Commission, the first one after the ascension and coronation of Jesus, and the first one after the descent of the Holy Spirit. It clearly states and fully who Jesus is, also as clearly and fully the terms of salvation as announced by Jesus in the commission. Thus, through the apostles, the Spirit bore witness of the life, miracles, suffering, death, resurrection, ascension, and therefore of the Messiahship of Jesus. He pointed out different prophecies of which Jesus was the fulfillment, and as space would permit, we can analyze Peter's sermon and note with great interest the course he pursued to prove that Jesus is the Christ and was then on the throne of David and had shed forth the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. He then said, let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom ye crucified. This is a command to believe in Christ. Thus, in intelligent language, the Spirit bore witness of Jesus. Thus, he convinced and converted sinners. Thus, he influenced and persuaded them. He led them. faith was manifested, and the great question is asked in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? Now when they heard this, the truth presented to them by the Holy Spirit through speaking through the apostles. More than once they were requested to listen to what the Spirit had to say. Hearing the truth spoken by the Holy Spirit convinced and convicted them of sin. They were pricked in their heart by what the Spirit said, the facts presented. They trembled in their guilt and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? That is, to escape from the consequences of their crime and the murder of Jesus. This question shows that they believed what Philip preached, and therefore in Jesus of Nazareth as the Christ of God and Savior of men. This shows too, as Peter states, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:14-17. This is the first time under the reign of Christ that this momentous question was propounded, and the first time, of course, that it received an answer. Whatever may have been the proper answer under any previous dispensation or under any previous day of the world's history, the answer given by Peter on this day of Pentecost, the day in which the reign of Christ on earth began, is the true and infallible answer for all such inquiries in all subsequent time. Here, on this day, and at Jerusalem, repentance and remission of sins were first preached in the name of Jesus. Luke 24:45-48. Note, in the name of Jesus. Never before were people commanded to do this. In the name of Jesus. The disciples before had never prayed in Jesus' name. And so the great question is answered in Acts 2 and verse 38. And Peter said unto them, Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The answer of the Holy Spirit through Peter to this all-important question is simple, plain, and unmistakable. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Convinced that Jesus was the Son of God, the Christ and Savior of men, and convinced of their sins against Him, they could repent of such sins. Their faith in Jesus led them to this repentance. Those who repented did not cease to believe in Jesus or trust God, but their faith was strengthened by their repentance and baptism. For faith is made perfect by obedience. Let's talk about repentance. Repentance is a turning away in godly sorrow from all sin. 2 Corinthians 7:10. Sin of thought, word, deed, secret sins, and known sins. He who repents is ashamed of and sorry for all sins alike, because they're all wrong, and turns from all alike. It does not require a long time to repent. These people soon repented. The following is a short Bible reading on repentance and incentive and inducements to repentance. And we'll look at some of these in a program to come. We're about out of time. We want to look at Matthew 11:20-24, and Matthew 12:41, Luke 13:1-5, and Romans 2:4, and then 2 Corinthians 7:10, where it says godly sorrow proceeds and works repentance. Well, we'll do that in a program that is to come. You stay tuned and stay a student in the Warren County Radio Bible School.